The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Mina Kimes, Tim Talishaw, Frank Isola, Monica McNutt. A question right out of the gate for you for points. What is the combined record for starting rookie quarterbacks drafted in the first round?
Anyone?
1-9.
Whoa, Isola, right as it came out. Did you see that first? Do you know what the win is?
The win was Pats over Jets.
How does he do it? Frank Isola's on fire.
The game.
Let's go.
Unfortunately, I watched that. Wow.
Well, did you read my prompter before we did the show? I mean, that's right, guys. Someone's like, you did this for a living. Jaguars Bengals. Thursday is Thursday night football. Thursday night ever nighted? Question mark? Trevor Lawrence's first national TV game, and it's versus Joe Burrow. So you have how one number one pick progressed from year one to year two and coming back from that terrible injury, and how the other number one pick is. Well, how he's progressing, even though the numbers are suboptimal, he's saying he definitely feels like he's made some progress. Mina Kimes, around the horn to you. Who has more to prove tonight, Trevor Lawrence or Joe Burrow? And do you still feel the same way about both of them when it was all sparkling potential?
Well, first I'll hit your first question, sort of, which is I could have woken up today not known it was Thursday, looked at the schedule and told you, oh, yeah, Thursday night football, baby, Jags-Bengals. Undoubtedly, there's more pressure on Trevor Lawrence because so far early in the season, Joe Burrow has looked increasingly comfortable and there's signs to be optimistic about as a Bengals fan, better protection against an admittedly debilitated Steelers defensive line. But the connection with Ja'Marr Chase, the deep ball looks to be better. So I'd say you'd be pretty happy there. Lawrence, on the other hand, has just simply yet to put together a complete game. Like, there's been flashes of the incredible arm talent, which is why he was taken first overall. The touchdown to DJ Chark Jr. stands out last week. That's a throw that, you know, not every quarterback in the NFL can make. But he's also made too many backbreaking errors, interceptions. So tonight, what I want to see is no turnovers out of Trevor Lawrence. Take care of the football, and we will feel better about you.
Tim Kalishaw, you can answer any question you like, whether you still feel the same way about those two number one picks or who has more to prove tonight.
You know, I do think Trevor Lawrence has more to prove, although when you say that, you feel guilty because you're saying, why don't you prove something? You came to a team that had lost 15 games in a row. You got a head coach who's straight out of college who sometimes acts like he doesn't know what he's doing. You lost Travis Etienne in training camp. He was going to be your better version of a James White. So it's kind of hard to put it on him. But Mina's right about how his turnovers and inefficiency have looked. I think Burrow proved himself in the first two or three games last year. He was directing that offense when the line wasn't getting him killed. And then they got him knocked out. But I think he has shown he's ready for this level. Lawrence still has to take a few more steps.
Frank, when you're watching tonight, you watching for Lawrence, you watching for Burrow. What are you expecting to see?
Yeah, let's first say a little prayer for Jacksonville. I mean, they have 18 straight losses. They lose tonight. That is the second longest losing streak in NFL history. That really snuck up on us. It's amazing. But, Tim, you lived through Troy Aikman in Dallas and the struggles that he had. When you come in as a rookie, you're going to get beaten up. That flea flicker for an interception, for a pick six, you just can't be making the plays at this level. Yet, when you hear Cincinnati talk about Joe Burrow, they were talking about how last year was kind of year three at LSU. They knew as a young rookie quarterback, keep it kind of simple. He only completed 9 of 48 deep throws last year. This season with him and Ja'Marr Chase lighting it up with already 3 touchdowns. So they put the right weapons around him. He's much, much further along. He was further along last year, clearly this year.
And Monica McNutt?
Well, in a weird twist, I actually kind of think there's more pressure on Burrow because of all the things that Kalishaw listed. We know that this Jags organization is trying to figure it all out. But can Burrow actually lead this Bengals squad out of the basement of that division? I mean, you think about the history that he was on the brink of making with his 300-yard games last year before he got hurt. And then you look at the class that he was in terms of having five games in this in the 10 games that he played. He's in the company of Mahomes and Luck. So can Burrow continue to ascend to bring the Bengals into real competitive relevance?
I want to drill down a little bit deeper on whether these quarterbacks, especially the rookies this year, are what you thought they would be through 3 weeks. But first, about tonight, what do you expect to see tonight, Mina Kimes, and who you got?
Ugh, this is ugly, especially because I would normally take the Cincinnati without reservation, but Jesse Bates, who's a very good safety, and T. Higgins are out. I'm still taking the Bengals. Ugly games, you take the home team on Thursday night, but it ain't going to be pretty.
I think it's an ugly game, but the home team gets out of that losing streak in Jacksonville.
You've got Jacksonville. Now, that's going out on a limb, or a limp, as some might say. And Frank Isola?
Hey, poor Trevor Lawrence only has 3 days to prepare. He's, you know, he's a little lost right now. That's a tough turnaround, playing
and
Sunday,
Monica.
Not playing tonight for him.
I'm going with the Bengals. I think the streak's
I know you would. I think you're wearing the Bengals right now, right? That's a gorgeous
bit. Look at that. Coincidental.
Extra points for siding with the team you're making.
We're wearing team colors.
Okay, so the record is 1-9 for the rookie quarterbacks who were drafted in the first round through 3 games of their rookie season. 18 total interceptions, though. Playing quarterback as a rookie in the NFL, we know it's hard, but just for an example for the other side, Mina, Justin Herbert didn't exactly start like this last year. Kyler Murray, a few years back, didn't exactly start like this. So are you beginning to rethink this rookie quarterback class?
Yeah, there's a lot of counterexamples, actually, of rookies in recent years beyond those two. Baker Mayfield, when he came in as a rookie, Dak Prescott, and Deshaun Watson, the list goes on. So I'm not ready to make a sweeping generalization about these rookie quarterbacks in their future less than 25% of the way into the season. What I will make as an overarching statement, I suppose, is that I underestimated how bad the situations were that all of them were walking into. I mean, Justin Fields, we spent the entire week talking about how disjointed and awful that in Chicago everything is, frankly, from the protection to the play calling. I think Zach Wilson is in similarly adverse conditions. I really thought Mac Jones was walking into a dream scenario, but he's been under a lot of pressure, especially with Trent Brown out, and I don't think the play calling has been in his favor either. So now going forward, we have to ask, okay, whose situation is getting better? Mac Jones? Yes. I think Trevor Lawrence? Yes. Trey Lance when he plays? Yes. But I am worried about Justin Fields and Zach Wilson.
Tim, how do you read the rookie class this year through their first 3 games?
I think the only one you could give like maybe a C to would be Mac Jones at this point, and the rest are just hoping to get incompletes and not get a grade off the first 3 weeks. Zach Wilson's stats are atrocious, but again, he went to the Jets. What do they have on that team that you really like that you say, oh, man, they're really good. They got great receivers. They got a great running game. They don't have any of that. And he plays on a bad team. Lance hasn't played enough to do anything. But my overriding thought is all these guys play too soon. And Frank mentioned Troy Aikman. And Troy Aikman went 0-11 his rookie year. And he hated his rookie year. And he doesn't think that had anything to do with him becoming a Hall of Famer.
That's a good point that you made.
He would have been better off sitting on the bench.
Frank, how would you read this rookie class through three games?
Yeah, and Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Eli Manning, they didn't play right away, and they won Super Bowls. And I think it's too early to judge. I mean, it is the results have been disappointing. But Tim mentioned the Jets. Think about it. When you get these young quarterbacks, there comes a certain point we have to decide after 3 years whether or not you're going to give them that big contract. Sam Darnold, it was a guy that they were developing. Then you bring in a new coach, and then you think, oh, we're going to draft Zach Wilson. He'll be much better. You would have been much further along with Sam Darnold. To me, in some cases, I get it. With Kyler Murray, you said enough with Josh Rosen. Let's get Kyler Murray in here. I think the Jets made a big mistake. I thought Sam Darnold could be a quality quarterback that could
So it does sound like you're grading Zach Wilson now at this moment. Mina, you're making a face at that. Hold that face. Hold it. Monica McNutt, we'll bring you in here, please.
Well, I'm listening to Frank, and I'm thinking of what we've seen in terms of recent history, and there's this love affair with these college-style offenses and these creative guys that come and do all this. And so then you look at the skill set that so many of the quarterbacks that are starting have, and you're moving away from traditional skill sets, perhaps without the proper weaponry for these guys to succeed. We keep talking about they're in terrible positions.
Mm-hmm. All right, Mina Kimes, it's all yours. Go for Frank.
Well, I just want to hit the Sam Darnold thing because he has played well early on, admittedly, against, you know, inferior opponents. If Sam Darnold was on the Jets, they would still suck. Like, there's no universe in which keeping Sam Darnold would have made this offense look better. It's a bad offensive line, issues with the skill players. He went to a better situation. It's not about the quarterback.
I want to make sure I have this right, though.
And he's healthy.
The teams that draft quarterbacks in the first round, especially in those first 10 picks or so, they're not good teams, right? I mean, so this isn't the first time a team that was rudderless threw out a rookie quarterback. But we talked about some of those other quarterbacks. You know, Herbert didn't look like this out of the gate. You know, Deshaun Watson didn't look like this out of the gate. That's true as well. We don't have an answer yet to whether Justin Fields will start Sunday versus Detroit. Is that right? Matt Nagy says criticism of his play calling last week is fair. So, Tim, let's go around the horn on this. After the disaster of last week, should Fields be starting? And is Matt Nagy's job on the line?
I mean, most people think the play calling and that approach last week was just atrocious. I like the fact he says criticism's fair. Like, I think so. Here's the deal. So if they lose, they're going to be 1-3. The Bears are like an 8-8 team. That's not a good start. They're the only team that's beaten the Bengals, a team that my panelists think is a lock to get to 3-1 tonight. So maybe they got that going for them. I wouldn't fire him yet, but I would recognize that the offense has, which he came as an offensive guy, the offense has been the problem his whole time there.
Frank Isola, would you be starting Fields this week after? Clearly, they could not get on any page last week.
Yeah, well, let's get it clear, though, with Tim. 8-8, let's remember, 17 games. So are they going to go 8-9 or 9-8? You got to give us that final game.
8-8-1.
I'm not going to start him.
Oh, no.
And I get it. And I get it. The Bears head coach is a pinata with a headset on. And everything he does, he's going to get crushed. But I think he was right the way they started the season, using a veteran quarterback, bringing Justin Fields in situations. I think that's going to help him develop. Maybe later on in the season, not right now. I'm not sure.
You might be the first person on national television to give Nagy a little bit of space there to breathe. Are you starting Fields this week, Frank?
No, I'm not starting him. Either Dalton or Foles.
You do not want to see again what happened last week again. Monica McNutt, how about you?
I'm not starting Fields either. And the one thing I will give Nagy is that it seems like, based on what we've seen from him, he's handled it right. But when you think about how he got that job in that 12-4 season and all the praise initially, the way they have tanked is just, I shouldn't say tank, but the way they have not been able to follow that up is absolutely egregious.
And Mina Kimes.
Matt Nagy, wow, compliments from around the panel, so I'll shut that down. The game plan was atrocious. I'm like kind of stunned. And along those lines, that's why I'd be a little bit reticent or nervous about starting Fields, because I do not have faith in Matt Nagy to put together a good game plan and to prepare not just Fields, but also the offensive line, all of it, because they looked so discombobulated last week.
Mm-hmm. All right. Monica, you got the nice bonus for wearing the team you're supporting. Frank, maybe Tim, maybe Mina. Can we see like
costume?
I'll try to
Cardinal
screw this
on
up.
Tim's jacket. Seahawks, if that even exists. On Mina, and what would we get for Frank? Oh yeah, yes, a Jet. Oh, the Jets. We'll be back. Fire on the other side.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HE Travel to save 20%.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Could it be must-win game twos tonight for the Connecticut Sun versus the Chicago Sky and the Phoenix Mercury versus the Las Vegas Aces? It's best of five, of course, but the way Chicago looked in game one, stealing the double overtime thriller in Connecticut, and Taurasi's ankle, and the way this Aces team is just loaded, loaded on their bench. Monica, must-win game twos by herself.
It is. I'm completely buying it. This is a must-win game for the Sun. If they go to Chicago down 0-2 with the way that Candace Parker is playing and Courtney Vandersloot, you heard about that 18 assists, they're going to be in big-time trouble. They're a team that holds teams under 70 points per game. They gave up entirely too many points. They've got to slow down the pace to get the win at home.
And the Mercury against the Aces, must-win situation as well for Phoenix. They're a slightly different team with more experience, of course.
Yeah, it is, but this one feels like a sweep. DT's nursing that bum ankle, and although she gave everything she could, this is such a tight turnaround, and their bench has been completely non-productive. The Aces, seven players that average double figures. They're rolling.
Frank Isola.
I love how Monica mentioned assists, because all she did at Georgetown was shoot, shoot, shoot. The Sky had 31 assists in game one. That's tied for the second most in WNBA playoff history. Sharing is caring. I do think the Sun could come back, but I do agree with Monica. I think the Mercury in big, big
trouble. Kyle LaShaw?
I think if Connecticut wins tonight, they will go ahead and win the series. They won 14 straight before that double overtime game. I think they can get back on their game and do it.
Mina Kimes.
Yeah, it's obviously must win. No team has ever gone up 2-0 and lost since the WNBA changed its format. They're 10-0, so both teams it applies. I think Connecticut will be fine. Like, that's the most points they've ever allowed this season in any game. I imagine they'll bounce back. And Courtney Vandersloot, like, that was an all-time performance. Not likely to happen again to that extent.
I'm trying to get the stats from Georgetown basketball here, Monica.
Wow.
I know. how many assists a game? You want to just?
He ain't passing.
That wasn't my thing.
Okay.
That wasn't
yes.
my thing. I'm not even going to tell.
Frank, how many did you average in your career?
Thank you, Cranky Frank.
Caring is caring. To pick up games Frank. Count.
Buy or sell two offensive fouls in the NBA this season. They were already fouls, but according to the league, there's going to be an emphasis on calling them. In their post, they said, an interpretive change in the officiating of overt, abrupt, or abnormal non-basketball moves by offensive players. So, I mean, here's what you're seeing right here. The players are going to now put an emphasis on calling. I think there was a Doncic in there. The Harden up and up is another special they're going to call. Curry's lean is a play they're going to call. We're going to show you this in a second. You know this play as well. There's a Devin Booker kick out that they're going to start calling with more frequency, apparently, and the James Harden hook and the Trae Young specialty. I mean, these are all the plays you know, Frank. Buy or sell the NBA calling more offensive fouls this year.
It's great that they're going to do that. It will reduce free throws. What they need to reduce is going to be the complaining when they don't call fouls, because last year the complaining in the league was out of control. That needs to be a point of emphasis.
Tim Kalishaw.
I don't know why you kept showing that Luka shot. I thought he went straight up.
Okay,
there.
Yeah.
I hope they make these changes. There are too many guys who are great players, all of them, who spend more time, you know, just working to bend the rules or to get trick shots off to put people in a ridiculous position, and they got to fix it.
Got
to get rid of it.
Look, you're not going to find many people who are opposed to this. Just about every NBA fan who does not root for James Harden or Trae Young has complained about it. So I think it's probably a net positive. I do think, as Frank suggested, like, there's going to be a little bit more controversy than expected, because it's not always Harden and Trae pushing the limits.
And Monica.
Well, similar to these stars that draw these fouls, Cranky Frank leans in to create contact that's absolutely unnecessary as well.
You.
But I will say, I'm wondering what's going to happen with the reviews with these. Like, is that too going to become long and obnoxious and up to a judgment call from an official, depending on who's calling whose games? You guys know the Scott Foster, Chris Paul thing. We'll see.
Any decimals, because it was 1.4 assists you average per game, Monica McNutt.
Okay.
Oh, you're happy about that? You thought it was worse?
That rock.
I thought it was much worse than that. Real quick, Mina Kimes, the anticipation is killing you. I hope it'll last. The Seattle Mariners, what are you going to say to your team trying to end the longest drought in sports? You're not saying anything.
No comment. I'm not going to curse my already cursed team by commenting on
them. They've been glorious the last move to New York. They're giving you something to root for. It's been amazing. And Tim, you also were on today's show. Nothing on the Rangers, please. And Monica McNutt, Brad Guy Solo. This is a rivalry in Showdown next. Meaning.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I know Mina Kimes doesn't want to talk about it personally herself, and that's fine. I have to respect that. But a moment here. For the Seattle Mariners, on a run here, could they end the longest drought in baseball, make the playoffs? That's in play. Frank, how dare you? I'm not even done with the script. That was in play, but you've already lost points now. And the Tampa Bay Rays, putting the finishing touches on the best season in franchise history. Their second straight division crown, clinching home field in the AL. Frank, are these Rays better than last year's Rays, who were two games away from the championship?
No, I'd like to believe they are. You know, I root for the little guy. I don't think it's going to work. They do have 46 come-from-behind victories, but get this, Tony, because you love the quality start. Starting pitcher pitches at least six innings, gives up three or fewer runs. They only have 33 of them. Only Pittsburgh and Baltimore have fewer. The Dodgers have 73 quality starts. If you can't, your starting pitchers don't go long, and you're coming.
I'll tell you who's going long. Somebody's going long right now. Frank Isola. Monica, get in the conversation, please.
Tony, who are you? Frank? Cranky Frank, the numbers are what they are, but this is a team that's not disillusioned about who they are. They take a lot of pride in that resilience, and they know they might not out-talent everybody, but they're going to scrap and fight. The same way I knock you off, usually.
Well, I mean, it's 3-3 right now in Showdown. Here's another one, though, Frank. You can come back. It has been noticed by some in the media that Mac Jones, during his availability yesterday, didn't use Tom Brady's name once. You know, over 5 direct questions about Brady and over 2 or 3 more Brady-related questions. He didn't use his name once over 13 minutes. This spring, he did use Brady's name when a question invoked him in a comp. And you people jumped all over him. So, Monica, did Mac play it right this time?
I think he did. I mean, it's kind of like saying Candyman and then something horrible happens. He's not going to be able to live up to Tom Brady. So just act like he didn't exist, kind of.
Frank?
Says the woman who can't go 2 minutes without mentioning my name. Of course, he did the right thing by not talking about Tom Brady. He's in a no-win situation. From here for the end of his career, no-win situation.
That's a good point, Frank. You get a few points to your back over. It's positive numbers, but I think Monica's going to spend 30 seconds here not mentioning your name once. Let's go, Monica.
Okay, the WNBA playoffs have been terrific. We had just the 5th overtime, or double overtime game, in WNBA history the other night, and game 2's are tonight. But on game 3, when the Phoenix Mercury go back home to the Footprint Center, they're actually not going back home because of a scheduling conflict. Listen, I know things are up in the air in terms of teams making the playoffs, but this would never happen to another professional league to be put out of their home arena. Got to do better. And watch the WNBA playoffs tonight on ESPN2.
Ah, a promo there. I mean, you're going to be covering that, right? You do a little bit on at the desk.
I will be there.
Thank you very much for
that. Half time.
All right, we're on a 23.5-hour break. We'll see you guys tomorrow around the horn. Here we go. This one's for you, Frank.
Tomorrow.